Praise the Lord. Now let's all still turn to 1 Peter chapter 2.
Amen.
And let's read verse 5 and 9. Okay, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9. Now let's read this verse all together.
You
also,
as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Verse 9. But
you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Freddie, do you want me to turn the mic on? So, why? Because if it's not ready, okay, good. All right, good. Everyone can hear? Fine. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for this verse. These verses here in 1 Peter chapter 2. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It's been so good this weekend to really see what God wants us to ultimately do, which is to become this holy and royal priesthood. And this is our destiny. As we saw at the beginning of the conference in the book of Revelation, that He not only saved us, washed us from our sins with His blood, but He wanted us to become, or He would make us, kings and priests to God and the Father, and to usher in, when the Lord brings in the millennial kingdom age, that we would, as matured sons of God, co-reign with Christ in this coming kingdom age. And it's good to see then, well, and we need to know what the priesthood is. If we're going to be kings and priests, we need to see this. And it was good that we spent some time to see what is the true tabernacle. And what is the true tabernacle today? Today it is the church. We are this spiritual house. Today we should be the living stones. Not just individual, but be built up together as this living house. And so we should already have the realization and the sense that the church today is the holy temple of the Lord. And the goal is not for our purpose, not for our own interest in the church today, but it is for God's interest that we would ultimately enter into the holiest place, the Holy of Holies, to approach the throne of God, so that God could speak to us and direct us to give us His commandments. But we cannot just be anybody who walks into the Holy of Holies. We need to be the priests with the proper living, wearing the proper priestly garments, so that we can enter in, not just as we are, but as prepared to know. Whoops, we don't have that part of the chart up. To learn to take care of all the offerings at the burnt offering altar, and to be washed of our hands and our feet at the bronze laver, and to enter into the holy place, to be in the light, the shining lampstand there, and also the matter of partaking of the showbread, and to offer up prayer, the incense, the prayer of the saints, to enter into the Holy of Holies. This is all a marvelous picture for us to see how we should conduct ourselves in the house of the living God. Our vision concerning the church, I hope at the end of this weekend, will be tremendously uplifted. Amen. to see what we are dealing with. And then, yesterday, we already also began. Now, as the priest, we also need to know how to prepare the offerings. In 1 Peter, it says, we are a holy priesthood to do what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God our Father through Jesus Christ. And so yesterday we began to see Christ as the reality of all the offerings. And as we corrected the song, these offerings are not for our enjoyment. Actually, the offerings are for the Father's enjoyment. In fact, it's also the Father's food. Leviticus 3, verse 11 says that this would be food to our God and Father. Right? And so if we are the priest today, I mean, we need to know what is it that God our Father desires. Right? If you're a cook in a restaurant and you want to cook food for people, you at least need to know the name of the dish, and you need to know how to prepare it. Right? You don't walk into a restaurant and say, hey, Timo, here's food. Right? And if you're ordering food, you're not going to say, John, I want food. Do any of you go to such a restaurant like that? You tell the waiter, I want food. What do you think they'll say to you? What kind of food?
Might serve your dog's food.
Exactly. It might serve you something that you don't even know. What is this? Why does it look this way? But I think, you know, you realize when you walk into a restaurant, what is presented to you? The menu. And if they're a good restaurant, they will also even show you maybe a picture of what you're going to eat. I know for me, I don't like to necessarily read the words. I like to see the picture of the food. So, in a restaurant, if this is the case, then if we are going to prepare food for God our Father, then how can we prepare food for God if we do not know what the menu is? All the spiritual sacrifices. When you read through Leviticus chapter 1 through 7, outlining, detailing the offerings for God. This is the menu. God expects and God desires his food, you could say. It has a name for each dish, you could say. And he's very precise in creating, to prepare the offerings. If you do not know exactly how to prepare it, then how do you know it will satisfy God? Right? If you're going to cook steak, what kind of seasoning? How long should you cook it for? Right? If you're going to bake bread, do you want hard bread, soft bread, sweet bread? All of these things we all expect and we want. So what makes it any different than what God our Father desires? So we should begin to realize that the spiritual sacrifices, all the offerings that are laid out in Leviticus, is not for our enjoyment. It is actually for God's enjoyment. What is it that he wants so that he would be satisfied? Right, Mary, do you know what your mom likes to eat? Yeah. And do you know what the name of it is?
Yeah.
And do you know how to prepare it? No. Okay. So you need to practice, right? Yeah, of course. At least you know the name. And as you grow older, you'll start to practice it, and then you can make it to satisfy your mom, right? Yes. So it's the same way. Today, in the priesthood, brothers and sisters, we all need to learn to prepare. We might know what it's called, the burnt offering. But maybe we don't know yet how to prepare. And this is why the last 2 years, as we spend time in the matter of the true worship, it's been the burden that we would learn what the offering is, but not just to learn about it, doctrinally speaking, but to really begin to prepare it, to apply it in our experience. Because as was shared yesterday, the offering is we do not just preach the word back to God. You know, some have asked me, isn't it good enough just to speak back God's word to him? Well, that's like, that doesn't make sense, right? God doesn't want, you know, you just to preach back the word to him. He already spoke it to us. Why do you need to speak his word back to him? It does not make sense. That's like me telling Sarah and Jasmine every morning, please clean up your room. And then they come out at the breakfast table. They said, Daddy, we know. We have to clean up our room. Then they go to school. I look in the room. It's not cleaned up. They repeated the word back to me, but yet nothing changed. Right? I would be much more pleased if I told them, clean up your room. And then they said, Daddy, we cleaned up our room. And when they leave, I look in the room. It's all cleaned up. Right? So now how do you think God our Father feels when we just repeat back the word to him, but no change? And as our brother spoke yesterday morning, the matter of the offering is a matter of a change in our life.
That's right.
When we begin to apply Christ as all of the spiritual sacrifices, there must be a change.
Amen.
Within our being. And that change, with Christ being the one who causes the change in us, and we bring that to the Father, then this is what will satisfy him.
Amen.
Right? And so there's a very clear distinction. It is not just about speaking the word back to God, but it is about a real change, a real fruit in our life that is then offered back to the Father.
Amen.
And it was good yesterday to see the matter of the first three offerings, the burnt, the meal, and the peace offering. I know outside of the meeting, I was asked a few times, you know, what are the offerings? It's good. We need to ask one another, what are the offerings? You might think you know it, but if you're asked this question, Deborah, what is the burnt offering? And how would you respond to that question? Deer in a headlight. No. This is why we need to help one another. We need to encourage one another. Speak this to one another so that we all would enter into this reality of what is the offering. So, just in brief, you should remember the burnt offering. This is Christ, who is the one who is fully obedient to the Father, absolutely one with the Father. Everything that God our Father wanted to do, wanted him to do, he did. And so, today, why do we need Christ as our burnt offering? Because we ourselves are not obedient. Many times during the day, God our Father is asking us to do something and we say, not right now. I got to get through these hundreds of emails. Or I need to take care of the house. Or I need to take care of two kids running around making a mess everywhere. Food everywhere. Right? I have no time. But the Lord wants us to turn. Do we obey or do we say, not right now? Right? This is very practical. At that point in time when there's a move within your spirit as you're cleaning the house and the Father says, pray for my house to be also cleaned up. As we are removing all the dirt and we're cleaning it, especially when I have to clean up rooms and we're purging for the conference. Lord, purge my heart of all this leaven, this oldness. Get it out. But that takes a willingness to obey the Father to do it. So this is the burnt offering. And the meal offering. What is the meal offering? This is the fine humanity of Christ applied in our daily life. We want to obey God our Father, but we don't necessarily have the strength or the fine humanity of Christ to carry out the Father's work. So this is why we need Christ as this unleavened bread. No leaven in it. But made out of fine flour. Mixed with oil. And this is the fine humanity of Christ. And there's a spice of frankincense. It's with his resurrection life. And there's some salt so that there will be the taste of God in it. Is this our daily living? Right? When we speak to one another, Do we speak with our rough humanity, abruptly cutting people off, or you know what I mean, when you're trying to get a point across sometimes and you get a little bit unfine, you're a bit rough sometimes. But this is just one aspect in our speaking. There's so many areas in our humanity that needs to be changed. Right? And then the matter of the peace offering. Christ is our peace. He has broken down the middle wall of separation. He has fully reconciled us to God. Today, are we reconciled to God? Do we have peace with our living God and Father? And peace also with one another. If we don't have peace with God, then we definitely cannot have peace with one another. So do we experience Christ? Do we learn to apply Him in such a way in our daily life? I know for sure if I'm not connected with the Father and at peace with Him, and Sharon is not either, there will be not any peace between the two of us, because we'll have our own agenda and we'll butt heads, and then there will be no peace. But I appreciate the times when we can come together to pray. And when we are at peace with God, then for sure we are at peace with one another.
Yes. Amen.
And this is very practical. And so today we want to cover the matter regarding Christ as the sin offering and also Christ as the trespass offering. As I shared last night in my offering to the Father, when we were deciding which meetings to take, and this meeting was still open, there was a sense inside of me. I said, I want to take it because I want to specifically learn and experience Christ as the sin offering. Not as how it was in the past, but up to date. I want to really know, does it really work, the sin offering? Because sometimes I realize I want to choose the Lord to follow Him, and I also want Him to transform me in my rough humanity. But sometimes there's these certain situations where, everything just goes out the door, and it's like, what do I do? And this was good, because I said, Lord, I want to really learn to apply You as my sin offering. What is the sin offering? There's a distinction between the sin and the trespass offering. The sin offering, this is in John chapter 1, verse 29, Christ, as a sin offering, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin, not sins, but the sin of the world. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Christ, as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, this is in relationship to dealing with our body of sin. That we would be no longer under the dominion and the rule of sin. We should not be under the dominion of sin. Otherwise, then what would Romans chapter 6 really say? As we read this last night. Didn't it say that sin would no longer have dominion over us? And when you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it says what? We have been freed from the law of sin and of death.
Amen.
So I said, Lord, okay, I really want to apply You in such a way. Because I want to begin to see, Lord, You have to confirm within me that You can do this. And as I got into it, I realized the Lord needed to show me more. Because the problem, and one of the main reasons I think we don't really seriously take the Lord as a sin offering, is because we underestimate the power of sin. We underestimate. In Romans chapter 7, verse 23 and 24, Paul even cried out, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So this is something that we need to realize. Do we have such a realization that, oh, a wretched man that I am. Wretched man that we are. And, you know, when I move forward with this, with the Lord, I say, okay, Lord, I want you to confirm it. I think I got more than I bargained for these last few weeks. There are so many things that came up. And it was a real test. Do I learn to proactively take Christ as my sin offering? Or do I now get into the situation and I've reacted already? And what do I do? Right. And this is where we need to realize that the power of sin, don't underestimate it. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, the Lord already spoke this. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." That means you walk out that door and sin is lying there, ready to snare you. Ready to capture you. It's right there. But we don't see it. Or maybe we see it, doctrinally speaking. But in our experience, do we realize it? When we wake up and we're about to go into a project around the house or whatever, taking care of different things in our daily life, do we go in actively saying, "Lord, right now, today I exercise to take you as my sin offering, so that I would not be under this influence, not to be easily ensnared by the sins." And then, even the Lord had vehement cries. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and has heard because of his godly fear, though he was his son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Do we have such a desperation to realize that this is a serious problem that we need to have the Lord deal with? I realize this is not always in my consciousness. I'm not always crying out to the Lord, "Lord, deal with this in my daily life." Right? And so we need to arm ourselves with the same mind of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God." Who is the one who lived his life and had no sin? Christ. Amen. Only Christ. Well, the question is, do we have that same mind of Christ? To be armed. You know, when it says, arm yourselves, it didn't just say, put it on. It says, arm yourself. Right, if you're going to go to war, do you just put on a uniform? But do you also arm yourself? Arm yourself means it's a warfare. Are you ready to deal with this? So we need to arm ourselves with the same mind.
Amen.
And practically, in my experience during these past few weeks, I realized a lot of it is in my mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ."
Amen.
I realize these days more for me, I might not necessarily have an outburst to, you know, be upset or to do something, but it starts in my mind. And when I'm walking away from this situation, my mind is going crazy. And it's just going in circles, building up such a frenzy that you're just so upset in your mind. And your thoughts are not taken captive. And then when someone tries to talk to you, don't talk to me. I don't want to hear it. Oh, come on, John. Now is the time to really apply Christ as the sin offering. No. In my head, I don't say anything, but in my mind, I'm like, no. But shouldn't we be released from this? And this is where I said, Lord, right now, I want to experience you. I need to experience you and apply you as my sin offering. That my thoughts could be taken captive. thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Right? And as we go through the day, you know, sometimes there are certain things that, you know, happens over and over and over again. It's your push button. It's that button that sets you off. And I realize, looking there in Hebrews 12, it says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Many times I realize, why am I reacting? It's because there's this root of bitterness that is in this flesh of mine. And if I open my mouth, I will for sure defile other people, because everything will come out. Or if I go do something, it will also affect people around me, namely my family. And then the question is, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. We're willing to just stay mad at whatever the situation is, even at the expense of selling our birthright. And what happens is we say things that are unreasonable, irrational. Maybe we say it out loud, but maybe that's where our heart is. Right? And this, we have to realize that there is such a problem still within us and how much we need Christ. And eventually, even with our bodies, disciplining our body, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. This is also a real exercise in dealing with the lust of the flesh. In our recent fellowship, one of the statements that really, I think, rang true is, you know, we have a spirit of power, but is our mind, our soul, under the subjection of our spirit? Or is our body under the subjection of our spirit? And so this is where Christ has to become so real and so practical as the sin offering within all of us. And it is an exercise. It is an exercise to learn to pray in such a way. Amen. The projects that I had to deal with were, I just didn't expect it. I just didn't think about it. And then it was there. And many competing things that were there. And I realized there are so many things within me that I need to experience the Lord as a sin offering so that I would not be influenced or affected by it. But I was not always so quick to apply Christ in such a way. So, okay, then if we do commit a trespass, we say something that we regret, we offend the Lord, we offend one another, then we need Christ as our trespass offering. Right, Romans 4:25, it says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Christ today is also our trespass offering. When we commit an offense, when we commit a trespass, we praise him that he is our trespass offering. And he's made it very simple for us to apply him, especially as a trespass offering. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
So if we do commit an offense, praise the Lord, it's so easy to turn. If we are willing to turn and to confess our sins to the Lord, then He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to also cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Amen.
So the Lord is very practical. Right? And not only will He cleanse us from all unrighteousness, God will also remember no more your sin. That's why in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more."
Amen.
And we also realize that Christ is also our advocate, because there is an accuser. But Christ is our advocate. "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous."
Amen.
"And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world."
Amen.
So the Lord is also an advocate for us. Why? Because many times after we committed the trespass or the offense, we confess, we apologize to the Lord. But then who is there always condemning us, accusing us?
The accuser.
The accuser, the enemy. The enemy is always there accusing you. "Sarah, you messed up. You don't deserve to go to the Father. You cannot bring an offering." And what? We listen to it? No. Why? Because we have an advocate. We need to really realize we have an advocate. In Revelation chapter 12, it says, "And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb." Why? Because the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. So remember that the Lord is also our advocate in the trespass offerings.
Amen.
And so, practically speaking, how do we apply the Lord as our trespass offering? Obviously, we need to walk in the light. If we're going to stay in our stubborn self in that offense, we will be in darkness. We have to turn to Him.
Amen.
And once the light shines and we realize the offense that we made, be simple. Confess it.
Mm-hmm.
Confess our sins. And if our offense affected somebody else as well, then deal with it with the person. Apologize. If maybe you broke something, then take care of the restitution. Even in Leviticus, it talks about restitution. Take care of it in a practical way. And then learn to accept the Father's discipline. Right? God today wants to still perfect us.
That's right.
So we mess up. Learn from your mistake. Learn from your mistake. Our Father doesn't want to condemn you forever. No. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. So we should learn to receive the disciplining, right? This is why in Hebrews it says, "For they indeed for a few days chasten us seems best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So the trespass offering is very important because we will make mistakes. And the Father needs to train us, so we have to learn. And so we need Christ, definitely, as our trespass offering.
Right?
So it's very simple regarding the sin offering. The sin offering deals with the root of the problem. It's to release us from the dominion of sin in our flesh. But the trespass offering deals with the fruit of the sin. We offend someone. we commit a trespass, then the trespass offering deals with that. So this is the distinction between the sin and the trespass offering. But the one thing I also want to bring out is, if we learn to apply Christ in all of these offerings, realize that it is through the offerings that we are perfected.
Amen.
Because in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, it says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." We are being perfected. Realize this. Right? This is why the spiritual sacrifices cannot just be a doctrine to us, cannot be a teaching to us. It must be practiced. It must be learned and applied in our daily life. And when you focus on it, the Lord will really work. I just have to really worship the Father last night that, you know, Christ is really the sin offering. He really will release you from the dominion of sin. But we have to learn to apply this every day.
Amen.
Even it speaks about the daily sin offering to remind us of the problem that we have in our flesh. Right? And so may the Lord bring us into this reality, because this is God's wisdom. On the one hand, the sacrifices, the spiritual sacrifices, is for our Father's enjoyment. Right? Do we all want to please the Father? Do we all want to satisfy the Father?
Yes.
So, we prepare the offerings. But in God's wisdom, by us preparing the offerings, it is also now His way to perfect us. So that we also will eventually become fully matured, full sons of God, to bear His responsibility in the coming kingdom age.
Amen.
Right? So learn this. And practically, I do want to make a note. Last night, one of the brothers shared at the very end, and he mentioned that, you know, during that week, he forgot to write down or didn't have time to write down all of the different experiences. You know, this is a very practical matter. I will tell you, you know, if those of you who work, don't you guys usually do some kind of status report to know where your progress is?
Yeah.
And some of you have to do daily status reports, right? And for me, I know these days, if I want to know where my time went, I like to put this into my calendar. How much time did I spend doing this? How much time did I spend doing that? Because at the end of the day, if I look at my calendar and it's blank, then I go, what did I do today? I really don't know what I did. So I literally, because I can't remember everything that I did during the day, right? On the job, you can't remember everything you did. So now, if our earthly things we don't remember, then how well do you think you'll remember all of the times you've applied Christ as the offerings? It'll be very hard. And yes, I would agree with our brother. At the end of the week, now you're getting ready for the worship of the Father. You go, okay, what do I have? And now you don't remember. And especially when the spotlight is on, all of a sudden your mind is blank, and then you don't remember. So write it. This is definitely a very practical way to do it.
Amen.
Right? And, you know, even some of the brothers wrote an app on the smartphones, both for Apple phones and for Android phones. Download it. Use it. If it doesn't suit you, then pick another app. Whatever means it takes, to just write it down. Jot it down. Okay, if you don't have time to write bulleted paragraph forms, just at least put down a few bullets. You know, bulleted items. Or put down the verse that the Lord spoke to you. It'll really help you remember what happens. But the other thing that it will also do, it will also help us in presenting our offerings to the Father during the time of the worship. I'll tell you, the times that when I have taken the time to write and polish what I want to bring to the Father, that allows you to really come straight and direct to the point. The times that I don't write it down, then you end up adding so many extra words, and after 5 minutes of speaking, and then it's really the last 15 seconds that was the burnt offering. Well, it could have been a little bit shorter to get to the point. So writing it down definitely will help.
That's right.
And we should all learn to do this.
Yeah.
I know it helps. For me, it helps, because when I look back, I go, just like I look back at my calendar, what did I do today? I didn't write anything down, so I don't know what I did. But in the same way, if we learn to do this with our experience of applying Christ as the offerings, then you will begin to see. And you'll go, wow, you look back at the day and you go, I got the chance to experience the Lord in so many different ways.
Amen.
And then by the end of the week, then you can pick the best to bring to the Father.
Amen.
And this will definitely satisfy the Father. And you will also see progress in your own daily life. You'll be matured. So may we all really learn this, brothers and sisters. May we all enter into the burden, enter into the practice of the priesthood, and to learn to prepare the spiritual sacrifices for God our Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.